ओम शांति। द पाथ दैट वी वॉक और फ्लाई ऑन is the destination that we arrive at. I was struck by this very, very strongly when peace activists at one time used to say to me, we have to fight for peace. Is that possible? If the journey is the journey of fighting, I can't come to the destination of peace. And so the journey has to be one in which there's non-violence and peace. Then the destination can also be of peace. So it was at that time that I realized that the journey is going to determine the destination. And so we come to Baba, and for some it was the attraction of wanting to know God, and then Baba finds us and we realize that not only do we have God, but we have a whole big family also. In the scriptures they say when God came, He didn't come alone, He came with a family. And so that's the reality. But also, now that I'm following the path of truth, to what extent am I following it? And am I following it in the way that Baba followed the path of truth? And so definitely Baba arrived at the destination and has shown us the way also how we can do it. Baba followed the path of truth and reached his destination in 33 years. From the time that he started his journey in 1936, the journey of the search was of course lifetime till then, 60 years, but from the time that Shiv Baba picked him up to the time that he flew away in the Karmatit stage, that was a journey of 33 years. Some of us here in this hall have been on the journey longer, some nearly that time, some a lot less. So I know that it's very individual and very different, but we don't have the same amount of time that others did. The time that we have now is very restricted. Do you agree with that? We don't have a lot of time anymore. And so I can't say, it's okay, I'll go at my own pace and slowly, slowly I'll finally get there. I don't think that's valid at this point. I think that circumstances in the drama are revealing that everything is getting more and more heated. And given that situation of not just global warming, but also the heat of the politicians, that becomes more and more intense. The political situation everywhere is very delicate. And so given all of these things, who knows what tomorrow will bring? But also for each one individually, how long is this physical chariot going to accompany me? I've no idea. And so is it possible for me to gauge how long it's going to take me to reach that destination of total truth? I'm moving in that direction, but what is the speed with which I'm moving? Am I moving so quickly that I know that very soon I'll get there? Or am I moving slowly, slowly, a bit, a little bit more? And the thing that strikes me is that it's not just one subject that I have to give attention to, but it's actually three subjects. Not four? No, I don't think so. I think we have to give attention to three subjects. And yes, we are studying Gyan every day. That's the foundation of our life, so that we even understand what is the truth. Because through the day, you get influenced by many different people. And it's very easy to move off a little bit of track, just a little bit, and here's what Baba's saying, and here's what I'm now thinking, because of all the different influences that I'm exposed to. And then next morning, I hear Baba Smriti again. And literally, it's taking a dip in the water of the Ganges so that whatever dust has accumulated through the day and whatever tangent I've gone off on, Baba Smriti's remind me of what is the truth and what is it that God is saying as distinct to what a human being's saying. And so the benefit of the Murali every day, and of course the benefit of the Murali in the right atmosphere in Baba's home, in the university, even if it's a little tiny place, it's still Baba's university. Daddy always shares the story of how she was in this little apartment which was up on the veranda. It wasn't even on the ground floor, but it was up on the veranda. And she had this little apartment, but the landlord had somehow given her permission to have a big board all the way across the front of the building. So a journalist came asking, where is this Brahma Kumaris University? And the university was this tiny little room. And the journalist said, but is this the university? And Daddy said, yes. It's not a question of the size of the place, but it's a question of what is being taught here. And so to be even in a tiny little center, but it's Baba's home, Baba's center, and the value of being in Baba's home, Baba's center, and studying the Murali every day there, means that I'm exposed more and more to the truth. And if there has been a little bit of divergence away from that, then the intellect gets washed away of all the dust it has accumulated. And so again, I'm very clear what is it that Baba is saying and what is it that the directions of God are for my life. And so the three subjects, yes, firstly, of course, Gyan. And then secondly, of course, yoga. If we are reading all the Muralis in recent times, the emphasis is on yoga, yoga, yoga. And yes, if I want to change from walking to running and flying, then it has to be focused on using knowledge in a way that's enabling me to have good yoga with God. And the third subject is the practical application of the things that I'm learning in my life, my dharana. I don't have to think too much about service, the fourth subject. Why? Because if the first three are accurate, then the fourth subject is going to fall into place automatically. Anytime we ask people, what is it that brought you to the Brahma Kumaris? It's word of mouth. Which means they say, I saw somebody, a friend, a relative, someone in my family who went through a transformation, and I saw their lifestyle, and I decided that this is also what I want for myself. And so they became instruments to bring others to Baba. And so service happens automatically in a very beautiful way, just through the first three subjects. And if I'm not focused on the first three subjects, but on the fourth subject, I'm going to find obstacles that come. And they're not coming so much from outside, like today Baba said very clearly. The obstacles that come are the obstacles of my own illusions, the Maya that comes to me. And so the illusions, the negativity. And so it is this that creates the obstacles in service. Imagine a situation in which you are absolutely following Baba's Srimad, Baba's directions, and there was no anger, no greed, no attachment, no ego. Would there be any obstacles. I'm not mentioning lust because as a Brahmin we are following the path of purity. But if you've dealt with all of these negative forces, would there be any obstacles that would come? Even if there's something that's a challenge, if I'm internally clean and clear, those things wouldn't seem to be an obstacle. Whether it's other people's sanskars or whether it's challenges through any other reason that may be coming. And so focus on the first three, and the fourth is going to happen very naturally and very easily. Service will follow you. You don't have to chase service. And so following the directions that Baba's giving, attention on the three subjects, and I look at myself and where I am today, and I ask myself the question very deeply, very sincerely, if my destination is absolute truth, which means not just understanding truth. Yes, I need to have removed all the rubbish from here to even be able to understand it properly. But also, I need to have gone through a transformation in all my sanskars. Not a few of my sanskars. I'm happy that I've changed from where it is I was to where I am today. So that's good. But how much further do I have to go? Have I changed all my sanskars completely so that now it's a total reflection of God's truth? And so how far away am I from that? And am I going to get to my destination in the short time that's remaining just with the basis of walking? Think about it. When you're walking along, what happens? Sometimes there's a stone in the way and you stub your toe and you stop and say, hey, this is painful. I can't walk so fast anymore. And so even a little stone can become a stumbling block. Maybe you're not watching where you're going and there's somebody else who's in your path and you bump into them. And so when I'm walking, there can be many different things that can stop me from going on in the way that I would like to. And so I ask myself, if somebody is an obstacle for me, if I keep walking into this one today and that one tomorrow, what is that telling me? It's telling me, A, that there's something that I haven't looked at inside myself, and this is why I knock into this one, I knock into that one, or I knock into the other one. But also it's telling me that because I'm walking and I'm not looking exactly where I'm going, then I keep getting stopped along in my journey. If I'm running, that's a bit better than walking, because when you're running, you're more likely to be focused where it is you're heading. When you're walking, maybe you want to hear a little bit of music, you've got things in your ears, you're not totally aware, you're not totally attentive. But if you're running, then usually there's quite a clear focus and you're more concerned about time. But maybe your muscles aren't so strong and so you get a bit breathless, so you have to stop. You're not a marathon runner, you're not used to it. And so you were running for a year and you didn't realize it was going to take another 10, 20 years. And so you ran out of breath and then you had to stop. But if you say, I'm going to fly, and I think all of us have experienced the flying stage to a certain extent. Is there anyone who hasn't experienced the flying stage? Everyone's had that experience. Okay, let me ask the other question. Who has experienced the flying stage? Not everyone. So there are some who didn't put their hands up in the first or the second question. That's okay. But more put up their hands in the second question. So many have experienced the flying stage. And so what does it feel like when you're in the flying stage? In the flying stage, you're up above the ground. You're moving at a very fast speed. You're light, you're easy, you're happy. And the power of love is enabling you to fly. The wings of zeal and enthusiasm are with you, and that's giving you the power with which to be able to fly. And when you're flying, then the little obstacles that were stopping you on the ground, they can't stop you anymore because you're up above. The stones, the pebbles, the other people, all of that is left down below. And of course, when you're walking, then if there's an obstacle that comes, it feels very difficult. How am I going to go beyond this? But if you're up above, then even a huge mountain can come and it won't stop you. You'll be up there. And so it's not a problem for you. Things have been left down below. And of course, the view that you have when you're here, if there's an obstacle in your way, you can't see beyond the obstacle. For when you're up above, then nothing can stop your vision. You can see everything that's going on, the vision of the three aspects of time, the vision of the all-rounder, being able to see everything. And so in the flying stage, really, truly, nothing can stop you. But of course, we've had the experience that we fly, and then after a little while, something happens and we don't fly anymore. And then we have to make effort to again generate the energy to start flying again. And so the trick is not to fly just for a short time, but to get into flight mode and keep moving, keep moving. Today, somebody asked the question, what is it that surprised you on this journey? And my answer is, I hadn't realized and I was surprised when I saw the depth of my own sanskaras. And I'm sure there must have been many other surprises that you've had on your journey. But for me, I hadn't realized how deep sanskaras really are. You think you've dealt with it, and then it comes up again. And so it must have been there lurking somewhere. It didn't suddenly appear, but it must have been there already. And so it's just that I hadn't gone deep enough to be able to pull it out completely. And so it was still there. And something happened, and yes, I've been going through different layers, but there's a deeper layer that I hadn't yet reached. And so one of the things that stops me flying is when I again suddenly discover that there's another layer that I have to deal with that I hadn't anticipated. And so then the journey at that moment is not so easy. It again becomes something that you're giving attention to sort it out, whether it's your anger or your ego or your attachment. And like Baba says often, until the test comes, you don't really know to what extent you've dealt with something completely. Things are going fine, 1 month, 2 months, maybe even 6 months. But then something happens and you get stuck. And you realize that there's another hidden layer of your sanskaras that you hadn't understood. You thought you dealt with it and so you were feeling good about it, but there was something else underneath. And in a way, we shouldn't be surprised because just think about how deep are the habits of one birth. How deep are they? Simple example. You're accustomed to living in a comfortable home and suddenly something happens and you have to leave that comfortable home and move into more basic surroundings. How challenging is that experience? Now, wherever it is you live, hopefully you're all living very comfortably, but wherever it is you are, now suddenly you have to move from there and downsize, and it's not just a little bit of a change, it's quite a big change. It's not so easy to deal with it, whether it's your pride, your honor, your respect, or just space in which to have space for this and this and this and this. And now suddenly you don't have that space for this, this, this and this and this. And so how would you feel at that moment? Somebody was telling me today that they had to move from a very big space for Baba's house, Baba's center, into a fraction of that space. The other place was on rent, and suddenly they were told they had to vacate. And so then they bought a place for Baba, but it was a tiny place compared to the other space. And yet she felt the students were not happy because they felt restricted, but she herself felt that Baba's given me just enough space for everything. Everything I need to do for myself, for Baba, can all be done here. It's fine. And the result of that acceptance of the drama and that adjustment and the power of faith, she didn't say to Baba, "Baba, why has this happened?" She said to Baba, "It's fine. It's absolutely fine." And 2 years later, they now have this amazingly huge space, three times bigger than the original place. And so, in Sangam Yuga, many tests come because this is what Sangam Yuga is about. For me, Sangam Yuga begins as soon as I know the truth, and that applies to each one. As soon as I know the truth, that's the moment when Sangam Yuga has started. And then, following the path of truth, keeping Baba in front of me, today it was very lovely. Shiv Baba's explaining, and this one is understanding, but yet both are explaining together. And I didn't comment on this while I was reading the Murali, but I was very aware that practically everything Shiv Baba was explaining, Brahma Baba was also explaining in terms of his own personal experience. There were lots of things that came in the Murali that were Brahma Baba's experience coming through. So although this one is understanding what Shiv Baba's explaining, yet he's also explaining at the same time on the basis of what he is understanding and his own practical experience of what's going on. For example, the story of honey and how honey is purified only when you filter it, only when you strain it. And when you strain the honey, then what you're getting is the clear, clean honey. And I thought to myself, well, Shiv Baba has never done that. Shiv Baba's probably, yes, above, he can see everything, so he's maybe watched the process. But Brahma Baba has probably actually done it himself. So he's actually collected the honey, strained the honey, and seen the clear, clean honey, shining, golden honey coming through. And so Shiv Baba's talking about purification, and Brahma Baba's giving us a very practical example of how we can understand purification, how things have got mixed up and how we have to filter all the things that are the mixture so that the mixture remains and only that which is clean comes through. So, just through the home really, what is it that Shiv Baba is explaining? Brahma Baba didn't know that he was the deity soul. Shiv Baba knew and reminded him, you are Vishnu, you are that deity soul. And Brahma Baba had to come to terms with, that's who I was, this is who I am now, but that's where I want to go again. And I don't think Brahma Baba ever walked or ran and became breathless and said, stop, I can't carry on, I need to catch my breath. And of course, being the pioneer, the one who was showing everyone else the way forward, can you imagine? You know, it happens on the motorway sometimes when it's foggy. One car has a problem and brakes suddenly and stops, and there's 10 cars behind that come up behind and crash one into another, into another, into another. It happens regularly every winter, sometimes not even only in winter, even in summer. But one thing happens and cars come and they crash. So Brahma Baba, the pioneer, and there were at that point 350 following him. Can you imagine what would have happened if Brahma Baba said, I'm breathless, I have to stop, wait a minute. What would have happened to all of them? They would have got stuck. And so Brahma Baba just kept flying. From that first moment of recognition and faith. Why? Because Brahma Baba always just kept his vision focused on Shiv Baba and kept his vision focused on the destination. How many times in every single Murali does Baba talk about Lakshmi and Narayan? Baba would point there many, many times during one Murali. This is what I have to become. And for Baba, it wasn't theory. It was a continuous effort. Where am I now? What is that stage? Where am I now? What is that stage? So there was always that attention on the one above and the aim and object. And so if I want to keep flying, then these are the two things I need to do. My attention on God. And try it sometime. Whatever is going on here, just keep looking ahead. Instead of looking there and there or anywhere else, just keep looking straight ahead. See Baba in front of you and see your destination in front of you. And it will save you a lot of time and effort and energy. You won't get distracted by all the circuses that are going on around you. There are circuses going on out there in the world outside. And I don't want to say there's all horrible things going on. There are horrible things going on. But sometimes it's just a circus. What's going on? It's crazy. And then sometimes you look in the Brahmin family. And what do you see there? Again, you see this sanskars going on all the time, the circus that's going on. And if I stop and stare and watch, I'll really get caught up in it. I won't have the attention on truth and my destination. And so this is why Baba says, you know what is negative. So why are you looking at what is negative? And then have to make the effort to erase it from your mind. Don't see evil. Don't see negativity. Hear no evil. Why should I let myself get polluted by stories of this, that and the other? But most of all, think no evil. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, but think no evil. And all my physical senses They're constantly giving me information. They're feeding my mind. And so unless I'm careful about what it is that's coming in here, all of the things that are seeing, watching, hearing, it's all going to stimulate things in the wrong direction, and I'll get stuck. And so walking means to get distracted by all of these things and to get stuck somewhere or another. And I'm very, very far away from truth. There's a lovely expression that comes in the Murali, and that is, when the soul has truth, it dances. Such the Vito Nach. When there's truth, then you dance. Check yourself. If internally you're not dancing, you're not happy, why? It's not because of this one, or this thing, that thing, and the other thing. That's going to carry on. And if you want to look at all of that and think about all of that and get stuck with it, it's your choice. But if you've decided, my journey is a journey of truth, and Baba has said, don't let yourself see this thing, that thing, and the other thing. Just keep moving straight ahead. And so when I see truth, and I keep my mind filled with Baba's Gyan, I'm going to stay flying, because then that truth is the power that keeps me happy, and the happiness and the lightness keeps me flying. So I'm not going to get distracted by any of those things. Can you imagine if you're a parent and there's a war going on outside and you don't even know if tomorrow your children are going to be fed? What would that do to you? You'd be concerned, you'd be worried, you'd be anxious. And here was Baba. At that time it was 350. Then by the time they came to Abu and the tree had shaken, then by then there were about 300. But they started off with more. And through that period of the partition war, and I think some of you know, certainly in England, because of the connection of India and England, of course, a couple of years ago, when it was the 70-year anniversary of independence, there was a lot of publicity about the partition war. And I don't have time to watch all these things, but from time to time, there'd be a two-minute clip that would come to me, and I'd see that. And the scenes were of horror. You know, we hear about the Syrian refugees, we hear about Palestinian refugees, we hear a lot of many different things happening, which are all Kali Yuga, they're not nice. But the largest migration ever was at that time of partition, on both sides, from here to there, from there to there. And it wasn't smooth and sorted out and everything hunky-dory. It was a mess. It was a real mess. And Shiv Baba knows everything. Shiv Baba told them, just stay in yoga. You don't need any other protection. Even a house where it was only sisters staying, 60 of them, 60 young sisters. And Baba said, the only protection you need is the power of yoga, and sisters would be on sentry duty through the night, and they would want to be on sentry duty. They weren't scared and said, oh, I'd rather not. Somebody else should do it. They were happy. Why? They said, it's giving us time for yoga. Because through the night, you're not going to do other things. But being on sentry duty, you have time to be with Baba, to have yoga. And the power of yoga was so incredible, not a single hair of anyone's head was touched or hurt. Proof the power of yoga can protect you in terms of extreme situations of violence even. But not only that, Brahma Baba was human and he had only started his journey. By the end of his journey, he was Karmatit. But at that time, his faith in Shiv Baba and Shiv Baba's directions. Baba has said, stay, you don't need to run, you don't need to go, stay. But stay in yoga. That's it. Baba didn't give a plan, do this, do this, do this, do this. Brahma Baba had to work it out. Yes, let the sisters be on sentry duty, all of this. But just think about it. Baba's stage, Brahma Baba's stage. He knew he had to keep his yoga up above. If he let his yoga come down to the level of worry, of walking or running, trying to have yoga, trying to make sure everything was okay, it wouldn't work. And there was nobody to tell him these things. Nowadays we talk about these things. We have all these examples in front of us. We have all these stories which are real stories, not novels and imagination, but reality. Truth is real reality. So these are the things of our story, our history, our ancestry. And so the power of truth at that moment and Brahma Baba's total faith in Shiv Baba. Sat Chit Anand. When the consciousness is filled with truth, then you're in a state of bliss. Baba just gave them lots and lots of programs to have yoga. And that yoga power kept them up above so that all the things that were happening outside were going on down below. But Brahma Baba himself kept his own flying stage and that enabled everybody else to be inspired and do the same. But again, it was their total trust, not just in Shiv Baba, but also in Brahma Baba. And so that faith in Shiv Baba's teachings, the trust in Brahma Baba, that yes, truly, he is the mother and father, and we're going to be safe. It's going to be fine. And so this moment, when I'm walking, it means I'm worried, I'm concerned, I'm anxious, I'm afraid. Little things are going to get me stuck. And I'm going to get distracted by everything that's going on. But my faith in Shiv Baba, my faith in the destination, and okay, I start running. But when I'm running, I'm not used to going so fast. I get breathless and I stop. And what's happening behind me, they get stuck also. So Baba doesn't want me to get breathless. Baba wants me to take a lift and go up above and be in that stage where truly I'm flying on the basis of the experience of God's love. And I know that for most of us, when we first came to Baba, it was that experience of Baba's love. And that kept us moving, even though some had to face challenges from family, some had to face challenges from society. In whichever way, nobody had to face the challenges that Brahma Baba and the Dadis had to face. But we all had to face our own things. But to face the demons that are inside and to accept them, that these are the challenges I have to deal with. This is the biggest thing. I'm flying and I see that things are coming up and they're triggering a reaction within me. How do I stay flying? To be able to know myself so well that by now, however long I've been with Baba, by now I know what are the things that are going to get me stuck? Ask yourself this question. How well do I know myself? The first truth is not even knowing God. The first truth is knowing myself. And I need space for that, but not at the expense of, like Baba was saying, some would say, let yesterday, let me be away from the family, only then I know myself. No, it's when I'm with the family that I can know myself better, and I can gauge how far I've come and how much further I need to go. And so within the family, within the structure of service and the responsibilities that Baba's given me, whether it's family, Lokic family, spiritual family, whatever it is, service of souls out there, but I need time to be able to look at myself, and that means being introverted. It doesn't mean running away from anything. It means while I'm doing what I need to do, especially in the spaces between one thing and the other, let me take the time to look inside. Something's finished. The next thing's about to begin. Can I spend just a moment going inside and checking? Was I soul conscious? Could I have done things differently? Is there a different approach I could have taken? To speak of this is long, but to think about this, it's just walking from here to there. You can do that within that moment if you're aware. And if you quickly do this, as things go on, to take a chart and ticket at the end of the day is actually not so easy, because it won't be a very clear chart. There'll be lots of things that have happened and you'll have forgotten about them. You'll have forgotten about your own inner experiences also. But something's happening, okay, something else is going to happen. So in that little tiny space, just go inside and check. What was my response? Could it have been different? And getting to know myself and the root of my own weaknesses deeply means that then I'm going to be able to tackle those things also. If I don't know myself very deeply, that's when I discover another layer and there's a shock and I come down. I'm not able to deal with it. But in the flying stage and in the stage in which I'm being honest with myself, then in that stage I've been looking carefully. And so things are happening and there are reactions that I'm seeing. But I catch those reactions very quickly so that I can turn them around before they become feelings that then need to be expressed in words or actions. And so I don't need to create more karma at this moment. I don't have time to create karma and then have to deal with it. There's no space for that. I need to be able to see it, and as it comes up, to say, okay, finish, gone. And so this is why Baba says, there's never going to be a time when Maya doesn't challenge you. Right until the end, Baba's told us that very clearly. So you can't say to Baba, Baba, can't you tell Maya to stop coming? Baba talks about it in the Sakar Muralis. And you know the response that Baba gives to that moment? Baba gives different responses when children put their questions to Baba. But one response that Baba gives is, but Maya is my sweet daughter. She's my helper. She's helping you to see what's going on. And so Baba's not going to say to Maya, stop coming. Just as Baba calls drama, sweet drama, my daughter drama. In the same way, Baba calls Maya, my sweet daughter, she's helping me. And so you have to check and change. And so, and the last one, the biggest one that comes is the ego. Every time when there's a game of snakes and ladders, and that was invented in India, multi thousands of years ago, and the original snakes and ladders was the spiritual snakes and ladders, even though it was in bhakti. All the different vices and the ladders that go up, the different virtues that help you go up, and the snakes, the vices that bring you down. And always the snake that brings you down the fastest when you're very near to perfection. Which one would that be? Ego. Ego. And connected with I is also my. And the my is not so much the attachment to others, but the I and my, so ego and attachment connected together. And so this is why the Gita talks about, I've conquered all attachments, I've finished everything connected with my and mine, and now I have remembrance of one and one alone. And so the ego and attachment, the I and my that come, isn't possessions, isn't people, isn't any of those things. Is the arrogance of my own intellect, the arrogance that says, I know I am right, I know more than others, I know because I have gyan, I know because I have good yoga, my yoga is good. Now, is that being honest with myself, or is it my ego that's speaking? Not an easy line to see the difference. You can see why it is such a challenge, because it can be so easy to say, but of course I have good yoga, of course I understand jnana better than most, and surely that's self-respect. Well, is it self-respect or is it ego? And if there's pain, and somebody else says, but what about my idea? And I'm not willing to let go of my idea, and it's causing me pain to let go, then I know it was my ego. It wasn't gyan and intoxication of spirituality. It was ego speaking that I know best. So, to be able to see that deep sense of I. And when Baba says in the Murali, don't think I'm speaking, always remember it's that one speaking. And then this is why in Bhakti, they haven't remembered Brahma Baba. Brahma Baba made sure that his identity wasn't something that would stay fixed in people's minds and hearts. Amazing personality, charismatic personality, and Baba consciously made sure that our attention was focused on one. Which is why I found it very interesting the other day when Baba was talking about the proof of service. When I've done service, is it that people remember me, or is it that people remember God? Have I served them in such a way that I've connected them with God, or have I connected them with me and they're under the influence of my personality? And so the I, am I totally aware that it's God's knowledge that I'm sharing? I didn't have this truth. I wouldn't have been able to give 1% of this gyan. I didn't have it. It didn't belong to me. But it was truth that came from Baba. And I'm really, truly just an instrument to be able to share that truth. And the more I stay in that awareness of one, the easier it is for me to maintain this awareness of truth. That truth comes from one. The path that I follow has to be the path that that one is showing me. The Dadis used to tell us, we can't give you Srimat. Srimat comes from one. And so sometimes when people would say that Dadiji gave this Srimat or Dadiji gave that Srimat, Dadi would say to them, I don't give Srimat to anyone. I take Srimat from Baba. And so it's Baba who's giving us Srimat. And so it's coming from one. And so when I am very, very clear about who I am, how I need to change, who is the truth, what is the path of truth that he's showing me, and I move in that direction, following that path of wisdom, I come to the stage where, yes, truly, that truth is visible through my life. And when I reach that state of total cleanliness and purity, truth and purity go together. In Hindi, the two words are satyata, pavitrata. They rhyme together. But with that also is namrata, humility. And so truth, and the truth will never want to prove itself. I mean, Sunday's Murali was absolutely amazing for the depth that it shared. Truth and coolness, and the proof of coolness is love and the humility that comes with truth. No arrogance, no ego. So let me see, am I able to keep flying, keep that power of love ignited in such a way that my enthusiasm doesn't ever wane and I don't get stuck by coming down below. Down below, and there'll definitely be things that get you stuck and you won't be able to move forward. And the proof of your flying stage, the truth, you'll be happy, you'll be light, you'll be easy, and others will be inspired to do the same. If you're unhappy, who's going to be inspired? There's enough sorrow in the world already. And so if I'm not happy, nobody's going to want to do the things that I'm suggesting, because what's the result for me? They're watching that, for they see the result of what I'm doing in my life, and they'll say, yes, that's what I want to do also. I want to be happy, I want to be flying, I want to reach that destination of perfect truth. So let's have powerful yoga and take such love from Baba that it lifts us above all the other things that are going on, and we move ahead. Om Shanti.